this territory and bring us your face to shine upon us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
You are welcome. You may be seated. Turn your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. We'll do Bible study for 20 minutes. Then we'll pray together as a congregation. Those of you that are downstairs, if you can hear me, say amen. Those of you downstairs, if you can hear me, say amen. They are responding. Okay, they are responding. Yes, those of you downstairs, you are part of what God is doing. Please stay tuned. Pick the lesson, and when we begin to pray, the Holy Spirit will do what the preacher cannot do in establishing the counsel of God in your life. Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. If you read properly, you will find that this portion of scripture where we read sounds like a summary, sounds like a conclusion to the perspective of the physical creation that had been accomplished by God. Now, the challenge in this our reading is actually in verse 4. And that's where I hope to draw the lesson for the morning from. If you are still with me, say amen. So this is a summary of creation. God had eventually prosecuted what was upon his heart, and what was on ground was no longer a picture, it was for real. However, there was an intelligence by which God created, because he first created the heavens before he created the earth. Are you with me? There's an intelligence by which he created, which I'll need to explain to us. And if I succeed in doing that, then I will show you one or two things. Are you with me? Now, if you read Genesis chapter 2 verse 4, you are going to encounter a challenge. And the challenge is in the use of the word generation. You will know that the project is just beginning. The project is just being inaugurated. So how come we are using the word generations in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 4? Now, when you find such a controversy, you don't need to increase this volume, please. When you find such a controversy in your study of the Bible, it is necessary for you to launch a linguistic investigation. And so we need to do a linguistic investigation on the word generations used in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 4. Because the project just began. How can we have generations? Are you there? If you have a Bible that is equipped with a lexicon, and you switch it on and click on generations, you will find a Hebrew word. This Hebrew word happens to be Tolidal.
And tone it down has a few meanings. First meaning is generations. Second meaning is to give birth to. Tone it down is a comparative word. It's a comparative word. It must be between two realities. And if you check the reading, it says these are the generations of the heavens and the earth in the day when the Lord God created. Right? So the contrast for which occasions the need for the use of the word Tolidal is the heavens and the earth, the invincible and the visible realm. Are you with me? All right. So what that word means within that context is that the physical realm was given birth to from the invisible realm. The foundation of the physical civilization is the spiritual civilization. And so if a witch wants to bring injury to someone, she doesn't need to do it physically. She goes into the foundation and establishes the code in the spirit realm. And if the code is effectively established, time and season will bring out the injury as if it came naturally. This possibility is consistent with the design that God put in place in order to establish compatibility between the unseen and the seen realm. They are merged together. Just like a woman that is pregnant is linked to the child that she's carrying through the instrument called the umbilical cord. And so if the mother should drink Coke, the child automatically is a victim of what the mother takes. And that's how it is in the invisible and the visible realm. If you establish something in the invisible realm, it will manifest in the visible realm. Victory is secured first in the invisible realm, and it will manifest. Time and season, circumstances and events will collocate together to create the passage for the birthing of that which has been sustained already in the unseen realm. It means that the one that gains mastery of how to wield the scepter that controls the unseen realm becomes the master of time. Did you get it to that point? And if you got that, then the purpose of this lecture, therefore, is to give us an insight on how the unseen realm is structured. I have just 1 hour to do this job. Are you with me? So you are going to help me to be focused. This is a job we do for 9 days. We are trying to do it for 1 hour. My effort is to give us an insight into how that unseen realm functions, the shape, the structure of that unseen realm, so that we can be trained on how to take advantage of its possibilities. When you see an Ezemo, he doesn't go to the school we rush to go, UNM. An Ezemo doesn't need your education because he has his own type of education. And his own type of education is given to him through the agency of a spirit of error. And that's why he regrets at the end of his life his participation in the unseen realm. If you have education of the unseen realm, you will not want to go to UNM. You will know that what they are lecturing there is secondary. Because even the lecturer too will need your help. That's why the SMO doesn't go to UNM. But we do. And you think that your certificate that you got from UNM can actually cause a change. You are wrong. It doesn't have any authority because you got that knowledge from the soil of your soul. That knowledge can improve circumstances. It can change circumstances. So as a doctor, you can, if you understand how
the processes, the systems of the health part functions. When it is out of function, you can restore its function. Right? But what I'm talking about here is the ability to cause changes. It will come from the realm of the spirit. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, move with me quickly as we get the first point on how the realm operates. That will be Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. The next time we have time, we will not be here. This place is too small. We will look for a place that can contain us and more people. And then we will give time to teach the wisdom that is in the Word of God. This wisdom will make everyone function well. Function well. Genesis 4 from verse 8. Still trying to investigate the realm. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood out of thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee as strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. You must have noticed, those of you that read with concentration, that what I just read now, it depicts a court session. A court session. Now, are you with me? So, I'm just trying to make you understand that the unseen realm is judicial in nature. You know, we are trying to gain mastery of how to take advantage of the possibilities of the unseen realm so that we can transform, we can superimpose the superior position of the invincible on the visible. The unseen realm is judicial in nature. It is capable of a justice system. It is capable of legislative potential. It is capable of judicial possibility. That's how the realm is. That's the first description of the shape of the realm. It is judicial in nature. It is because of its judicial nature that what we just read now is a court session where justice, judgment, and equity was served a man that was found in violation. Now, this young man killed his brother. And those of you that are knowledgeable in the constitution of Nigeria, for instance, will remember the Witness Act. The Witness Act. And in the Witness Act, there are two kinds of witnesses that is possible under the shape of our legal system. So according to the Witness Act, we have the eyewitness who happens to be someone that was present in the scene of the event. His testimony can affect justice and judgment. In the Witness Act also, we have the expert witness. It's just like someone that is a consultant in internal medicine, when he looks upon a dead body and comes up with an autopsy and a report, that report can affect justice, even though the person was not present in the scene of the event. And these are the only two provisions for witness under our legal system. And because Cain knew that there was no eyewitness that saw the death of his brother, and there was no expert witness available, obviously he was working with the Nigerian constitution, he saw that there was no eyewitness, there was no expert witness. When he was brought forth for cross-examination and he was asked, where is Abel. In view of the fact that such witnesses did not exist, his response was, am I my brother's keeper? Because he thought he was responding to mortals. And so in order for them to clear his doubt, the case file had to be retrieved. And when the case file was retrieved, this was just so that his doubts could be cleared. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. What Cain did not know was that in the legal framework that was in the realm of the spirit, blood also had vocabulary, and blood can be witness. Blood can take you to court. I hope you know that the Bible reveals how that the blood of Jesus speaketh better things. And I don't want to go there, because if we go there, we'll try to find out what is the blood really speaking. And what is it that gave that blood that vocabulary? There were so many things the blood could have said. Why is it that the blood spoke better things? So blood has utterance. In fact, if you have read the book of Genesis critically, you will find that it's not only blood that can speak. Sin also can speak. Because when God came to and encountered Abraham, and he was on route Sodom and Gomorrah, when he decided that he will no longer hide from Abraham what he wants to do, he now told Abraham that he was heading to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he wanted to evaluate, he wanted to see if the sin of that land was according to the cry thereof. That means sin can cry. It has vocabulary. It has a voice. And the whole chemistry behind redemption was that the vocabulary, the utterance, the volume of the blood of Jesus was going to be used to superimpose upon the volume of sin, the utterance of sin. It will quench it. Because those are the two things that have the capacity to... According to the Bible, your offering can speak. Because when the angel of the Lord encountered Cornelius, he said unto him, thy arms and thy prayers has ascended unto God as a memorial. I'm just trying to give you an insight into the shape of this unseen realm. So it is capable of justice. So what summoned this court was the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel was what ascended into heaven with a cry and forced this court to sit. Meanwhile, Cain was ignorant. He didn't know that blood was capable of generating summons in the court of heaven. Are you with me? If you are going to be invited to court, it is through the instrument of the writ of summons, or the instrument of the originating summons. But it was blood that summoned that court, because it sustained a cry that could not be overlooked. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Oh, the people outside cannot hear me. That was why I did the test in the first place. Okay, you can add volume so that they can hear. But me, I can't. This is my voice. This is high volume in my own voice kit. My utterance now is high on high volume. Hallelujah. So it was the blood that summoned that court. And then God spoke out of heaven and caught the attention of Cain and asked him a question. He answered as if he were addressing mortals. To clear his doubt, the case file was brought. He was educated further. but he was not allowed to speak in court again. Subsequently, the judgment was issued. He said, and thou art cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood out of thy hand. That's judgment. So a curse has come upon him. And then the details of the curse include, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Number two, item of the curse, a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Now, the implication of this curse is that there is no territory under heaven that it will be possible for Cain to establish his destiny. No territory on earth. So he will have to wander from place to place. You might look upon Cain and you see his biceps, his triceps, his build, and a lady might say he's in love with him and he's crying to the parents. But the lady may not know that there's a judicial disadvantage that the man is suffering from. May the Lord give you understanding. Are you with me? Because the realm is judicial in nature, it means that there is a possibility that men are under judicial bondages. Just like Cain is an example of a man that is operating under judicial bondages. Meanwhile, this is number one. Number one, there are nine things I found about the unseen realm. If you know them, you can change something from there. If you know them, you can understand some symptoms when you see them on the street. Hey, this is judicial. Are you with me? So it is possible for someone to be in bondage, such bondage that is judicial in nature. Now, those of you downstairs, can you hear me now? Did you hear something? Hallelujah. Now, you are a part of what we are doing, and right now we are in court. We are trying to solve some problems in court this morning. That's why we came here. And I trust that God will help us in the name of Jesus. All right, go with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 49 quickly. Are you there in Isaiah chapter 49? The next time we come, we'll find time to teach the scriptures in a good place that has enough space. I think the place we're even using. We'll look for a place so that we can enter into one or two things. And then you'll see how easy it is to use knowledge to influence your environment. The challenge of the believer can only be ignorance, if not in terms of equipment. We have been adequately funded to prosecute the counsel of God for our lives. In fact, according to the scriptures, it's the same spirit that reversed the protocol of death and brought Jesus out of the grave. And it happens to be that man's greatest problem is death. The Holy Ghost started by solving the greatest problem in raising Jesus from the dead. And it was not occasion by night vigil that you attended. It was not night prayer that you did that made Jesus rise. He rose irrespective of your involvement. It means it was suffering. Are you with me? And Satan could not stop it. It's the same spirit that conquered death that is driving your Christian life. That means, are you here? If it conquered death, it can conquer poverty. Right? If it conquered death, it can conquer bad luck. If it conquered death, it can conquer the curse that is working in your family. It's just that the only challenge of the believer will be ignorance. That's the only challenge. If not, you're adequately funded. But if you don't know what has been allocated to you, you'll be looking for what is not lost. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. All right, Isaiah chapter 49. Because the realm of the invincible is judicial in nature, there are some bondages that have a judicial tone, a judicial coloration. And according to the book of Isaiah chapter 49 verse 24, Bible says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? One question was asked in two ways, because the prophet felt it might be difficult for us to understand the first rendering of the question. So he rephrased the question and asked the same question again in a different way. The first question was, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? So we have two metaphors there that might be difficult to understand. Prey and mighty. So he said, no, the mysteries are too much. He now rephrased the question again. Say, or shall the lawful captive be delivered? It means that that guy that was called mighty wasn't called mighty because it has brute strength. It's a warrior. It's called mighty because the kind of bondage he puts his captors is legal in nature. When you find, as we proceed in this service this morning, before we end, because we are going to court. Because, you know, when we talk about spiritual things, there's no evidence that it is true until there's a manifestation. All right, so when we do the theoretical aspect to arm us with the general principle, we'll move into the practical aspect so that you can see how justice and judgment is executed from the unseen realm. And today, my place, my occupation, my designation in this whole arrangement is the occupation of a law enforcement agent. I'm just trying to enforce law. You know, when justice is served, then law enforcement agents are empowered to take over from it. So when we attain justice and judgment, then in that capacity, I can enforce one or two things. And God will help us. In Jesus' name. There are territories that have legal issues. Not just men, but territories, locations, nations that are spiritually deep legal circumstances that has led to their current experience. Current civilization has its roots in a lot of legal stuff. And we're going to look and how to prosecute these matters. And God will help us in the name of Jesus. It's needful for us to understand that Satan is actually called an accuser. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he moveth about, looking for, seeking for whom he might devour. This your adversary, the word adversary there is someone, an opponent that comes, that is in Greek. The word translated, you can check it up if you have the lexicon. The word adversary there is an opponent that comes forth with a lawsuit. And so, in the devil's motion as he moves about, seeking whom he might devour, that's a metaphor. Lion is looking for who he might devour. But in practicality, what that metaphor means is that he's going about seeking evidence in order to bring accusation against you in the court of heaven. And according to the book of Revelation chapter 12, the Bible gives us an insight into the scope of the accusation ministry of the devil. He accuses the believers, the Bible says, day and night. That means there's no rest in this accusation matter. Are you still with me? Now, God runs a justice system that is based on the principle of righteousness. Thy throne, O God, is forever, and the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. And because the devil knows that God runs justice according to righteousness, what he does is that he goes and he brings accusation against us using God's laws, God's principles, God's preferences,
And if it is consistent according to God's laws, Satan will be given permission by God to execute the justice that he felt was not executed adequately. Do you understand that? And under such circumstances, because it is legal, even God was bound to his word to accord Satan the permission. So your prayer will not stop you. You pray for long, it will not change. The kind of prayers that we pray. Because the mistake we make, I didn't finish my reading. Let's go back to my reading. So, this my reading began with a question. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or shall the lawful captive be delivered? ? But thus saith the Lord, even the captive, it was, I don't know who asked the question, but it was God that answered, because human beings could not answer this question. Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, for I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and there. No need. What I wanted to bring here is, how does God intend to save the prey of the terrible? He told us that. He said, by contention. Now, contention in this context is twofold. First of all, contention on the battlefield, which is the one that every believer knows. Secondly, there's contention in court, which most believers don't know. And most times, we try to attack legal issues from battlefield approach, and it's wrong. It will not produce a result, because the matter has a legal undertone. It will take a legal approach to undo the premise that Satan is standing on. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're not here. Okay, somebody is quoting a scripture to me. I can hear what the person is quoting. So let me answer the person's question, because I picked the person's thought. After I ask you the question, then I will now show you how to prosecute matters. Turn your Bible to the book of Luke. Are you there in the book of Luke chapter 10? Luke chapter 10. You know what the person is quoting? The person said, I think it is written that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. How, therefore, can legal issues exist for a new creation? My response is in Luke chapter 13. From verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bound together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. I'd like you to take note that Jesus was operating in the capacity of a law enforcement agent in this country.
Just for the record. Verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to walk. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. So Jesus is trying to justify his actions. Now, said something in verse 15 and verse 16, which happens to be my defense to that person that brought that claim. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water it? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bound on the Sabbath day? I would like to refresh your memory about your status as a believer. You must understand that redemption began with Abraham. But redemption was culminated in the work of Christ on the cross. And so everyone that has accepted the work of Christ on the cross, according to Galatians chapter 3, is a bona fide son and daughter of Abraham. That's your status. And that's the reason why you have entitlements consistent with the covenant that God cut with Abraham. So your status as you sit here right now is that you are a daughter, you are a son of Abraham by faith. That status that you occupy, that gives you preference in terms of the dealings of God, happens to be the same status this woman occupies. You might ask, does Satan have a right to bind her? No. Because Jesus said that in her status as a daughter of Abraham, she ought to be loosed, but she was bound, lo, 18 years. So it was not by right that Satan bound her. It was that Satan was able to find a reason for which she should be bound. Now, you're not with me. Satan doesn't have a right to bind you, but Satan can find a reason that he will take to court that will occasion your bondage. Meanwhile, according to law, she ought to be loose, but she was not loose for 18 years. Are you here? So Satan can't find a reason. And I want to assure you that this lawyer called Satan, if he wants to find a reason, he moves about. He becomes mobile. And when we say Satan is mobile, many of you will think he moved from east to west. That's the simplest motion. And he's not likely to find any evidence moving in a linear motion. He can also move into your past, seeking for evidence. Move 5 generations into the past and find a reason for which... you're not with me. You're not with me. I don't have time, this morning to bring litigation from the word of God. I don't have time this morning. I would have shown you some glimpses of the justice system. Things that Satan knows that men are too much in a hurry. They don't take their time to look at those things. And Satan uses it against people. Satan doesn't have a right to bind you. That's not the angle he comes from. He looks for a reason, looks for evidence to take to court so that he will have a reason for which you are bound, even though he doesn't have a right to bring you to bondage. And that's why part of the protocols of ascending into court and arguing your case requires that you come into court with strong reasons. The reason why it is strong reasons is because Satan has reasons. So you need to present what? You're not with me. I didn't come with my diary. I would have shown you one or two snapshots here and there. All right? One of the snapshots I would have shown you was the position of the justice system of heaven as touching the shedding of blood. And the consequences that have been clearly spelled out in the Constitution that should result if blood is shed. So all the devil needs to do is to travel into your bloodline to locate whenever blood was shed. And then he can go to court and say, this matter was never handled. This violation took place, but there was no time where this issue was addressed. Are you with me? I was doing some studies and I discovered that there are more than 80,000 rape kits. Right? And what I mean by rape kits are the extracts from a practical rape case which ought to have gone to the lab for analysis to detect the DNA of the culprit in order to press charges. Are you with me? In the US, there are more than 80,000 rape kits that never went to the lab. Those are open cases. The person can be walking free on the street, but there is a matter. See, the day the lab people revive, he will have his day in court. Do you understand that? You are not with me. You are already afraid, so I will not proceed. You are afraid already. I'm just showing you the landscape. There is a solution, a permanent solution. The reason why I can speak to you like this is because I used this method to get solution. That's why I can speak boldly. So I'm not telling you what I think. And I'm not telling you what someone told me. I'm telling you what I've experienced. And it took years for God to give me wisdom on how to present it from here. You know, it is possible for you to have spiritual experiences that you can't explain biblically. Yes. Paul had encounters with Jesus in Arabia. It took him 17 years to find utterance to communicate it to the body of Christ. For some of you now, as I'm speaking now, you are saying, it's because the thing was there, but there was no utterance. It's not as if the body, the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. 80,000 kids. Sometimes the people obviously may go and bribe and say, let the lab have a problem. Because according to American law, if that kit remains there for 10 years, it is no longer valid as an instrument to prosecute justice. It has outstayed. So there's such a window. Let me not trouble you. My learning in the university is in the area of the sciences, but I had to go and learn law to understand this matter. I had to learn it. I'm a quack lawyer. So that issues could be prosecuted. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. I'm looking for a simple scripture. That's why I'm laboring. A very simple one. 1 Samuel. Just give me time. Sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'm going to show us a test case. Then I'll stop my lecture. If we come back again, we'll open up this subject in a more robust fashion. And then we will proceed in our court proceedings, and we'll secure judgments for everyone whose case is pending. Now, let's go. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. There was a famine in the days of David, 3 years. Year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites unto them. Now, the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. Are you with me? Because of the covenant that Israel had with God, one of the things that was guaranteed was that there will be no famine. Another guarantee was that no man will be able to stand before the Israeli army and succeed against them in battle. Right? And now we have a 3-year situation of famine here. So when David saw the trend, he knew that this is occasioned by the justice system. So he needed to know the case file, what was responsible for this judgment, and he inquired for 3 years. And God downloaded the case file and revealed to him that this thing you are seeing was caused by Saul. Listen, are you here? Oh my. It seems your capacity for the word of God is so small. Hey. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, the covenant that Joshua made with the Gibeonites as at this time was 700 years old. The breach of contract that took place by Saul as at this time was 17 years old. Are you with me? Can you see how far Satan traveled? I'm just trying to open your eyes to a few things. It traveled 700 years in search of evidence. And David was totally oblivious of what was going on, that there was no record, by physical record, through which he could connect the happenings. He had to launch an inquiry. My question is, have you launched any inquiry about your family? What do you know about your family? What do you know about your clan? What do you know about Enugu State? What do you know about Nigeria? Because any well-meaning Christian like David should have launched an inquiry about Nigeria. Because this is not how God ordained it. I worked in the oil industry for 16 years. And I can tell you that I know a little. We generate the statistics that is used
to make decisions in that sector. And I can tell you clearly that the God that created Nigeria did not plan for any Nigerian to be poor. I can tell you. If statistics means anything, we can confirm that the God that created us never intended one Nigerian to be a poor man. So David had to launch an inquiry. And then it was revealed to him that Saul had committed trespass. And this trespass is such that the court of heaven became helpless when Satan brought the accusation. And because the court of heaven had actually operates on the principle of righteousness, there was no way to manipulate the judgment. And Satan had the occasion, and he was given the liberty to press such charges, to implement, to prosecute, to enforce justice. He said, okay, let us start with famine. Part of what we will need to do, because he said, I will contend with him that contend. He will need to take the case to court. So part of our job in the court of heaven is to make it possible for God to release righteous judgments. Oh, you're not with me? Okay, I will explain. Now, you see, this famine that was taking place was because of a violation that happened to the Gibeonites. Is that not so? That was the ground that Satan secured to press charges. So David knew how to unbalance the justice system. So what he did was that he called the Gibeonites and he asked them two questions. First question was, what shall I do for you? That's first question. Second question is, wherewith shall I make atonement that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? Two questions. What can I do for you? That means, if the Gibeonites are willing to accept a gift that will be sufficient compensation for the loss that they suffer. That's one. But they didn't accept that option. He now asked another question. Wherewith can I make atonement? It was the second provision that they accepted. They said, if Saul's children are still living, bring 9 of them. We are going to kill them the same place where they killed our people. The guys didn't accept compensation. What they accepted is atonement, restitution. And the moment that was done, Satan lost his ground of accusation on that matter, and rain began to fall. You see, can you see the role David played in order to give God the opportunity to utter judgments that are in our favor? Oh, you are not with me. That's what you need to do in court. And the reason why you have this responsibility is because the realm is judicial in nature. That's number one. That's number one character of the realm. It has bequeathed upon us a responsibility to create the atmosphere that will make God able to give righteous judgments. My lecture ends on this note. And whenever we have time, we will plan to do Bible study. Then you find out that this book has been locked for long. This book, locked with key for a very long time. And my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This morning, now can you reduce your volume? This morning, we are going to pray. And because of how tight the space where we are staying is, you don't need to stand up. But you need to exercise yourself. Because we are going to court this morning. And we are hoping to change a few things
that will produce new patterns in our lives. First of all, I would like you to look back. If you find that something is transgenerational, it's a court case. It happened in one generation. You still see the same symptom in another generation. It's a court case. If you see anything that is cyclical, it comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. If you see anything that is a pattern, it's a court case. Maybe you will notice that all the people that died in your family, none of them was able to hit 70. And this one, that one, this one, this one, this one. When you see that pattern, any wise man should be able, just like David read the famine and knew that this thing had to do with cut. Every wise man should be able to read trends and know, there's an issue here. And it is your job to conduct an inquiry. As we pray, what we are doing in the brief moment that we have this opportunity is inquiries. And I told you that if you are up to date with the Lord and you know where to look, it will be easy for you to pick the voice of God in 5 minutes of engagement. And so we are going to do some inquiry. And when we are able to do the inquiries, we will also follow through with the necessary legal procedure to secure salvation. Hallelujah. And then subsequently, when we have time, we'll do a more robust presentation that is fully all-inclusive. And then also give you the tools of how to litigate. And we'll go back to the places that have been considered to the enemy, and we can reclaim them. In a moment of time, let's use your family as a case study. Because there are many case studies. There are territorial issues, bondages that are territorial in nature, that are traceable to legal issues. And we have had a lot of insights in our own city. And we have tackled many issues. We have seen patterns change by priesthood. Are you with me? So, the case study right now is your family. And we're going to take some time to pray for our families. We'll do this, all of this, for 20 minutes. Then I take my seat. So, we're going to pray for our families for 20 minutes. And just in case you have seen a pattern, a trend, something cyclical, something transgenerational, if poverty has traveled for 4 generations, know that it's spiritual. It's not because no hard-working person has come out of that place, but his efforts were stalled by several judgments that have been uttered. And irrespective of his efforts, it doesn't translate to any profit because a spirit is involved. Hallelujah. Can we pray? Can we pray? I'd like you to bring your family before the Lord right now and isolate an item. Now, it's not meditative prayer. The fact that I say you should sit down doesn't mean I'm recommending meditation as a prayer approach. Isolate, investigate, put your hands on something that you know is not normal. This is not the will of God. This is not the mind of God for us. This is not the purpose of God for us. And begin to pray about it, that the hand of God might be stretched forth, that the God of heaven, oh my, Simo Keboroske, will bring about an intervention, that his hand might move over the affairs of the clan, over the affairs of the family, over the affairs of your life. Jole mahanteli. Shkambro kopelamus evelemo sokedai. Jekli koposke salomonda. Mehiko sama abreko tabais koseli. Jeniko presko velamin. Lababoria seminanteli. Shgeto monte dekoskiso salabokoria. Mahai kompele samakura maseli. Miskose selahai toko melande. Muske bramai toko pelame. Jamamonde kebre kesko sobri askeda. Mumbri ala babonsa selika brasketa manta babolekadi. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. What I see is that there is someone among us. It will be difficult to administer this matter, seeing that we are four floors or two floors over and above the guys that are down there. And there's no camera there that can give us eyes. Okay, don't worry. Freeman, don't worry. What I see, which I want to address right now, is someone that has been operating under the sentence of death. And two times in dreams that were very vivid, you saw as though death was coming to you. Death. You saw it at least twice. A very vivid fashion. And you saw death. One of the people implicated by this, he saw a coffin twice. Another one saw a grave that was dug. And the person that saw the grave saw it once. Now, if this is your case, whether you are down or up, come up. Your own case can be solved. If this is your case, whether you are down or up, and come to the front here. Your case will be solved this morning. Meanwhile, what was your own experience? Was it a coffin you saw?
Grave, sir.
You saw a grave. How long? How far back?
Like 2 months ago.
What did you see? What was your experience?
Coffee.
Oh, a coffin. What did you see?
A coffin.
I'm still waiting. Let all the people implicated come, and then we'll end this one this morning. The thing about this one is that when I finish praying for you, it is possible that this judgment will come upon somebody. But I'm just giving you a hint. It is a possibility that what is at work is a possible exchange. Someone wants to exchange somebody for somebody. If that is the case, then when we finish the prayer, the thing will go back to the person that is orchestrating the exchange. Okay? Alright. So justice is a wonderful thing. Justice. Oh my. Alright, I think we got all the people implicated by that utterance. Okay. What? Someone else again? Okay, just stand on the aisle. Don't cross our pulpit area. Yes, stand on the aisle. We're done. Saima Seli Broke So Kopelama. Imbozali Koprasketo Minala. When we come next, we'll have time to deal with diverse issues that have this legal debt. And whole families will be liberated. I've seen it. What we're actually pressing for now in the court of heaven is for the liberty of Nigeria. And it will come to pass, because in this equation there are two candlesticks. And when the first candlestick is put out, it will come to pass that some of our insecurity will stop. And before they finish mourning the first candlestick, the second one will be put out. The verdict concerning Nigeria has been given. Just open your eyes and watch. Just watch. You will. May the Lord give you wisdom to interpret this parable. In Jesus' mighty name. Can we pray for them? Can you stretch your hand in their direction? And demand their release. Demand their release. Bushe kabrante kura mas gesopre. Shkeminam brokota. Iskopela mi. Braiko salama. Shabraman tokosketo mezo zigo presko filami. Aiton tezo zomina hadekoske. Don't cluster the pulpit area. Maiso sela mazali. Resko bela muske ba iko brela. Jiva hanteli labroko betamina. Resko falami sebriata babunde. Elamansel, elamanda braska boko bokolia. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Listen. Listen, the Lord has heard us, and he has actually dispatched an angel. All right. Now, this angel will touch one of these people in the next few seconds. But I'm just explaining so that you will know what is happening. Now, when the angel begins to touch that person, which he has begun, it is actually a sign that the yokes on these people has been commissioned to be broken. So the angel has touched one. The angel will touch another one again. The angel will touch another one. His hand will come strong. His hand will come strong. So this guy now has been brought out. Before I lay hands, God will do two. Then me, I can do the rest. The hand of the Lord will come on one of these people, and it will come strong. It will come strong to pull you out. The hand will come strong to pull you out. To come strong. To come strong. I'm seeing other cases in court and case files. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that one that you are sending deliverance to, I ask, oh God, that you stretch forth your hand and touch that one, so that I will know that one. I will know that one, so that I can know that one. Let your hand be stretched forth. Okay, it's coming. Let your hand be stretched forth. I sense it coming so strong. Let your hand be stretched forth, so that we'll know that one, and then we'll be able to prophesy. We'll be able to prophesy. You have been released now. You have been released from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. The hand of God is stronger. Strong on you. Hand of God is strong. Now, you see number two there. Before we go on, it's coming. You see, you are being removed from. Hey, you were kept in a place, and you are being removed from that place. 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 Thank you, Father. They are being removed. Maiso keboroske baita kabal shebriga batwa amatali kobedekos. Being removed. Thank you, Lord. All right, if I touch you, you go. Lord, we give you praise. We remove him from the reach of the enemy. We remove him from the reach. We remove him from the reach. We remove her from the reach of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. We remove him from the reach of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We remove him from the reach. We remove him from the reach. We remove him from the reach in the name of Jesus. We remove him from the reach. We remove him from the reach. We remove her from the reach of the enemy. We remove him from the reach in the name of Jesus. We remove him from the reach in the name of Jesus. We remove her from the reach. We remove him from the reach in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We remove her from the reach in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise this morning. And we ask that you look upon every family that is represented here this day. Stretch forth your hand over every family. And we pray as we present the blood of Jesus Christ, confronting the accuser and the ground that he has sustained. I proclaim liberty, 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 liberty in the name of Jesus. Let the things that were considered to be impossible before this time be made possible. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm seeing a few things where the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. While we're standing, can we just pray in tongues for 2 more minutes? Let's seal this thing. Just pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Shibabaramande debosi. Don't keep your mouth shut. Don't look around. Meniki kabaran zezita bando limpra patishka ate rekotesha kata parande mrede kutezege de belede kutu meniki andoro koske pana ketede de midada kata zanda mana bakoteske belete embre koskala tande de vetati jo shala na manaso nemrede zege de perede mbo shola damrede baba koska bala da bada hash si parata pelete na shala da baba hosh kabada de brede baba hosh nemrede baba hosh shala dam bekotete beda Ambre kote de dish kote de pena de mena do kata embriya to shala da bana de no te ke pala embi kuza ha embio she de bede de kota shala da mana ta na shala da baba kos ke bete de de di do tatan ambele do de shala de bede de kota da da baka embri de so shala embriya ta da da mena kol ambe de do shala de kote ke paka ta embri de so shala de bede de kota da da baka embri de so shala embriya ta da da mena kol ambe de Ambriye kote shende brede de dokato upatente tuze shido takapaya ambriye tende de tio komo no te what
silly prayer in the Holy Ghost
where did the dependent not
You reign forever, your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. You reign forever, your name is ever great.
Go ahead and worship, go ahead and worship.
You are the wisdom before time began. Into the wisdom before time began. You brought us into and you
press for just 2 minutes. Press
that you will
for just 2 minutes.
And move.
Don't make the 2 minutes count. Make these 2 minutes count. This. Press in worship for 2 minutes. Shibara katebre binataya.
Oh. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. Spirit, you're my way. Spirit, you're my way. Spirit, you're my way. Spirit, you're my way. Oh, Spirit, you're my way. Spirit, you're my way. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. Oh, you are the wisdom before time began. You reign forever. You reign in
come
every
on,
good
come
day.
On, come on, take delivery.
You are
take
delivery.
The wisdom take delivery of what he has done. Began. Come on!
You reign forever. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. Jesus, you reign forever. You reign forever. Oh, you reign forever. You reign forever. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can I hear a big amen in Jesus' name? Remember, you've heard this powerful sermon. But I'll go back to something I said when before I called Apostle off. Listen, he said the seed of a woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. You know that when they crucified him on the cross, Jesus, before he died, said, it is finished. Hallelujah. It is finished. When he made that utterance, when he said that it is finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that we are in the courtroom, even though we haven't pressed deeper and deeper, as you know, you kept hearing apostles saying, when we return. But we know that light has come. If you agree with me, say a big yes.
Yes.
That is to say that as we leave this place,
We know that we have started taking delivery, possession of that which the enemy has stolen. Joy is coming back to your house. In the name of Jesus. You know, some of you are still scoping. You are watching. You better believe that something new has just begun. Hallelujah. There is a new horizon opening up right now. Something is busting out right now. Can you put your hands on your belly? Just before we round off. Just round off. Can you put your hands on your belly? The Bible said, out of their belly, those that believe shall flow the rivers of the living waters. This is how we close. But before we go to offering, just make sure, go ahead and praise. Just for a minute. Oh, out of their belly, out of their belly, out of their belly shall flow. Out of their belly. Baliko palata. Maneke. 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 He said, it is finished. It is finished. The case that the devil brought against us has been taken care of. It is finished. The handwriting of ordinances. Shipata kapalapa. Nail to the cross.
The
reason I'm stretching this prayer to this point before we come to an end is for those people who are still doubting. Shibaye kete mani kota.
Shalada bibarade kote sebede bilata mahan.
Ebranine tomale kota.
Jesus. Emtetu yasise kobara tembile kogai. Amredeso shefete mbrio to sebila de bohoji. Ejito tento de totahala. Emredo shefete bila koma boida. Obede dito tatahala. Ore de di shalada mama mama koli abarata. Ote di shiti tui bigadambo. O shalada baba bahos. Amredeso. Jesus,
begin and give him praise. Wave your hands side to side and give him praise. Wave your hands and give him praise. Give him worship. Give him worship. Wave your hands and give him worship. The shelter in the midst of the storm has arisen. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just go ahead and thank him. Something is already shifting in the atmosphere. Go ahead and thank him. Go ahead and thank him. Something is shifting in the atmosphere. Go ahead and thank him. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And the summary is this. There is a great need for alignment. Hallelujah. There is a great need for what? Can we say one more time? There is a great need for what? Because if they discharge the case from court, and you go back and go and do those things that brought the case in the first place, you become a victim again. So there is a strong need for alignment. And because of that, the last prayer, please. Don't be offended that does the last prayer. We're going to pray and ask the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The one who has been assigned to help you and I. We're going to ask him to help. I saw in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, the Bible said he lifted up his voice with a vehement cry unto him that was able to save him, and he was heard because he had reverential fear. Now I ask you a question. If Jesus was praying to dodge death, and the Bible said he was heard, which death was he talking about? So there are things in our members that will keep making us victims because we become susceptible to them. But when you go like Jesus went and began to cry with a vehement cry. You know, you see this. There are two kinds of regret. Two kinds of pain. I'd rather have pain of the season till I break forth into the new thing that God has destined me for. It might take me years and time to get there. But if I praise and praise and praise and enter into it, just like Jesus, just like the Bible said he was head, that was the end. And I know that somebody's end to struggles that will make you and keep making you a victim can come by the help of the Holy Ghost. So I want us to, you know, don't look at anybody. If you are downstairs, please, let's pray this last prayer. If you are upstairs, join me in this last prayer. You're going to put your hands on your belly. And you are going to ask the Holy Ghost to break forth. You're like pendulum. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Holy Spirit, if you stop swinging in my life, I am done for good. You are like pendulum. Somebody pray. Holy Spirit, if you stop swinging in my heart, I am done for good. I'm done for good. Can somebody pray here this morning? Cry out to the Holy Ghost, the one who God has given to help you and I. If you stop swinging in my heart, I am done for good. I'm done for good. Somebody said, don't ever stop swinging. Help me. Cry out to him and cry and say, help me, Holy Ghost. I don't like the me I see. Come on, come on. If you start swinging in my heart, I am done for good. I'm done for good. Come on, keep pressing, keep pressing. Just 2 minutes more. Just 2 minutes more. Somebody pray here, pray here, pray here. This is the last prayer for today. Pray here. Press it, press it. If you stop swinging in my heart, then I'm done for good. I'm done for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a lead in my heart to tell you that you should make the whole of today a prayer day. Make the whole of today a prayer day. Make the whole of today a prayer day. Suspend other activities and press till today is over. I can assure you that the same Father in heaven that heard Jesus will hear you today. And when we return, we will look, the struggles have disappeared. I'm not talking about struggles in terms of finances and all that. I'm talking about that struggle that keeps making you what? That keeps making you what? A victim. That's what I'm talking about. Can we give him thanks as we have our seat? Shapalakate. Just give him thanks. Just give him thanks. Hallelujah. Shadekoya. My wife, please come.
And I beheld in the spirit I saw the horizon open. You were given the privilege to jump 2 steps. Your voice will be heard in this city. Yeah. Your voice will be heard in this city. The Lord said, I should tell you that this is not time for discouragement, for you are at the gate already. It's an entry point into 2 measures that God has approved. And your voice will be heard. I ask that you put your hand upon your servant, put your hand upon his wife, and let grace be poured out in the name of Jesus. Step into the things that God is offering you. Your voice will be heard. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen.
Forgive my being emotional. But this is the journey had been a long one. I've been a long one. You may not understand why I feel this way, but it had been a long journey. When I first came back from Ghana, where I was sent on mission, I came back into Nigeria. I stayed 5 years in Ghana on mission. And that was why I would just brief it and tell you something. When I heard Apostle Arumi, I heard him. And, you know, something broke within me. But before then, I didn't pay attention to hear God. So guess what I did? I went from place to place until finally I heard the voice. Then, when I saw Tony Richie hosting him in Asaba, I told my wife, we're going there. For there is no more time for joke and games. And we went to Asaba, and that is how we met him. Do you know the gospel truth? There wasn't time for joke. Because he looked like I have known him before. I remember him telling me, I know you. For me, I have not met him face to face. That was the first thing he said. Then we went into the room. Sat down there, talked for a while. Me and my wife with him. And Philip. And later we left. As we were leaving that place, I heard God saying, if you know how to, you see, just do it. Don't joke with it. And stop searching. And I can assure you, that's just what I did. So the day hold on. The day he called is coming for this conference we are doing in ShopRite that we should prepare for today. Wow. I said, so this is finally true. I don't know how God wants to do it. But you see that word that came just now. If we must pay any price to see it come to pass, we will not hesitate. There's something he said yesterday in the tent. Some people will miss because they will miss some of this thing because those that God will be using are young people. I shouted, Lord, if it is true that you need men, please, I make myself available. And somebody is going to leave this place today asking for the same thing. By making yourself available for God to use you. So that they all have space. Remember, all these things you are seeing, from Genesis to Revelation, all of them, pay attention, all of them. Man is on a journey of reclaiming the lost territories of the earth back to God. That is our duty. So we can bring the message from all action, all parts, all corners, but the sole aim is that all the places that are, that were lost to the enemy will be reclaimed. And here is the second thing I'll say before we share the grace. I haven't seen anywhere, that's why this message, sir, blessed me a lot. I haven't seen anywhere a judge will pass judgment and still be the one to execute it. So he's looking for executioners. And Jesus was the first one that showed up on the scene. What was his announcement? For this reason did the Son of Man come, to destroy every works. So being the first executioner, or also a prototype, you and I must rise to the same occasion. Because executioners must come. Even though God had passed judgment on Satan for his rebellion, it has not yet been fully executed. That is why Jesus is saying in the Bible, is saying in Ephesians 5, he's coming for that church without spots and wrinkle, because they are the ones that are in the right position to execute the judgment of God on Satan. You see why we can't be messing around? You see why we can't be playing hanky-panky Christianity? Flaky people. You see why we cannot be amongst them? Because the duty on our shoulder is strong. Hallelujah. Can we put our hands together again for Apostle? Please, if you are clapping, clap. Let's celebrate the man of God that God has used to bless us. Can we also stretch our hands, a minute's prayer for him, please? Can we do that? Everybody say a word of prayer for Apostle. Oh my God, please stretch your hands and pray. You see him going from nation to nation, and all his team, all the people that came with him. You see them going from nation to nation. If you have been on Facebook, you will see it. From Ghana to all the parts of the world, they are traveling. Can we pray that the grace, the sustaining grace of God, will be upon them all as they travel from coast to coast? The mandate of God must be delivered across nations. Somebody pray. Just stretch it for more. One more minute. They will keep firing on until the very end, as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of God. That is what this is all about. And we say, Father, we thank you. We say glory to your name for these ones. For Apostle Aaron Osai and his team, for being a blessing to us and the church age in Nigeria. Father, we honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' precious name we have worshipped. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please, can you bring your offerings? They will make it go through. Can I get my envelope, please? Where is my guy? They will make the offering go, the information go through on the screen. For those who are downstairs, those who are watching online, the information will go through there. Then do the needful. Hallelujah. And also, I want to use this opportunity to ask you to please get a pamphlet of Threshold Life of Faith Center. We have a little information that we put together in that pamphlet that will help you to know what we are doing here. By the special grace of God, if we put both... Okay, thank you. So if you look at those information there, please, if it interests you, come and be a part of what God is doing here. Then this is how I close. As the offering is going on, please, sir, permit me. I'm going to beg you, please, again, just one more time. I know you have prayed for me. I want you to also pray for the church. For the church. Because you mentioned in the prayer you were praying for me personally. It's not time to give up. I also want you to please pray for the church, Threshold Life of Faith Center, to fulfill God's... I don't know how you want to do it, sir.
Please cast your offerings as we pray together as an assembly. I believe that when we come back, we will hold a church meeting in a bigger place.
you're about to increase them. So be strong. Amen. And I am fully persuaded that there is someone that has stood by you faithfully that God is going to increase financially. Yeah. There's somebody like that. Alright, let's pray. Please make sure you get the pamphlet so that you can pick the information before you leave this place. And we strongly advise that you fellowship with us right here in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, and I pray for your people, for this congregation, for this ministry, and for the people that you have given unto this ministry. And I ask, oh God, that you strengthen them in this season of transition, that no one will miss out of the season that you are opening up for the ministry, in the name of Jesus. Let your grace rest. Let your prosperity rest. Let your favor rest upon every member of this house. In the name of Jesus Christ, we cut off every attempt of the enemy to bring injury around your life, to bring regrets around your life. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we decree that the borders of this house will be extended to the left and to the right. You will cause an explosion, an unprecedented explosion, to take place in this ministry. In the name of Jesus, you will raise men and women to stand with your servant and to stand with his wife, so that it will be easy for him to continue performing your counsel. Oh, be glorified and be exalted. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen. Can we jam those hands together, for it is already done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are coming to the end of the service already. But remember, this evening by 5 o'clock. By 4 o'clock, we are going back to ShopRite. Please don't be late. Go and tell everybody you know about the meeting. It's continuing and ending tonight. Alright? So remember, it's healing night. Pastor mentioned it there. So bring the people who are, you know, in need of that and come along. Hallelujah. Can we rise to heaven? Give the Lord praise. Thank him for all he had done today. Thank him and bless him. Thank him and bless him. You want to? Okay, so see what we are going to do now. And thank you. What we are going to do now. So you know this place is tight. And we say, give honor to whom honor is due. So I don't want anybody rushing. You allow our pastor to leave first with the team. When they are gone, then you can follow suit. How many of us will do that? Just say yes, I will do that. I want to hear it. Amen. So once you share the grace, just wait. And then, alright? Okay. Pastor Nasu, come and conclude for me so that I will stand here and go with him. Come and conclude.
Amen. Amen. Have you been blessed today? Are you sure? Heavenly Father, we thank you for an awesome service. We thank you. What a privilege that we are able to stand in this time in your presence to witness all that you are doing in our life. We say, may your name be praised forever in the mighty name of Jesus. As we go, your presence is always with us. And we thank you for whatever you have established, we continue to function in the life of everyone here today in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. We thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, And the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, blessing about us now forevermore. Amen. And surely. May the Lord be with you. So remember, let's follow suit after the apostle leaves the hall.